Major League Baseball has had its ballparks in every possible part of our cities. Some have been in the heart of downtown, like Chase Field in Phoenix. Others have been in the suburbs. And now we're seeing examples, including Atlanta, that are more like compounds, not especially close to public transit. But from the sport's earliest days, the ballpark has been deeply connected to a community, its culture, and often its history. Architecture critic and baseball lover Paul Goldberger digs into that connection in his new book, Ballpark, Baseball in the American City, and he's with me. Paul, you cover so much history in this book. Does the link between ballparks and cities vary depending on upon the era? Is it cyclical?
Sure. I mean, basically the history of ballparks is the history of American cities. I mean, that's the thing that I discovered as I was working on this book, that, you know, the early years, they were deeply and closely integrated into the urban fabric, and there was a real sense of neighborhood in cities in general, and ballparks reflected that. And then they got bigger, a little more grandiose, and then they began to move out to the suburbs and were surrounded by acres of car parking and asphalt. And then beginning with Camden Yards in Baltimore in 1992, they began to come back into the city and try to reintegrate into the urban fabric, which pretty much parallels the whole movement of a lot of, you know, young professionals back downtown in so many American cities.
So Wrigley Field and right. Fenway Park, are these true crown jewels, or do we tend to love them because of their nostalgia and frankly, how unique they remain?
The answer is kind of both, really. I mean, they're wonderful, wonderful places. And they're the two survivors of the golden age of ballparks in the early years of the 20th century. Possibly if Ebbets Field had survived, or Scheib Park in Philadelphia, or Forbes Field in Pittsburgh, they might be even more beloved today for that reason. But they're gone, and we'll never know. Certainly Fenway and Wrigley are both, you know, wonderful, iconic places that are full of history, that are just glorious and fun to be in. And people love them in part because of their inherent qualities as comfortable, nice public spaces in which you feel a sense of intimate connection to the ball game, which is, I think, you know, really essential for a good ballpark. But they also love them because they've always loved them. And so therefore, it kind of becomes a wonderful perpetuating thing.
Dodger Stadium is one of the older parks now, is it?
Dodger Stadium is now, amazingly, the third oldest ballpark in Major League Baseball, because everything built between Wrigley Field, which was 1914, and Dodger Stadium, which was 1962, is now gone. So it's now, by default, the third oldest ballpark. It's actually quite a wonderful ballpark. It is a problem in terms of getting to it and getting out of it because it's entirely oriented around the automobile.
Right.
With no real connections to any part of the city, because once again, it comes from that time when people thought the automobile was an unfettered good, not that it was a mixed blessing, as we now know it to be. And so everything was designed for the car and the car alone. The traffic jams are legendary, both coming and going. But I will tell you, once you finally get into your seat at Dodger Stadium, it is one of the most wonderful places in America to watch a ball game.
How unique is that stadium in the sense of being still, with the work that's been done, still a beautiful place to see a game, and yet it is really that exception in a lot of ways, a big city where it is a long road to get there. There's not light rail. There's not great public transit to get there. So how unique does it remain because of that as well?
Well, it is unique because so many ballparks now are built to access public transit. And there's a lot of schemes that keep getting talked about, like aerial gondolas, and Elon Musk talks about tunnels and all that. Someday, maybe one of those will happen and it will make some difference. But it is a problem, no question.
Paul, have you spent any time in Phoenix?
I have spent some time in Phoenix.
Well,
many visits, all of them relatively short, but yes, more time probably looking at Frank Lloyd Wright and things like that than in Scottsdale than at the ballpark. But indeed, I have been there, sure.
There's been discussion now that the Diamondbacks are unhappy with their downtown stadium.
Right.
How would you react to something like that if you were in a place where your beloved team played downtown and then decided to move away? How much would that affect the character of the city or the feel of the ballpark?
I think it's a huge negative, of course. I'd be very upset if it were my team and my city. You know, a ballpark is a great anchor in a city. It's a source of pride. It's, even though it's privately owned, it's a form of public space where people all gather and have a great kind of shared experience rooting for the team. And it integrates so naturally into everything else a city's about. A good ballpark reinforces everything else a city's about, and a good city reinforces what a ballpark is about. And they go together so naturally. And when you pick it up and move it to an artificial location in the suburbs, you really lose a lot of that, I think. And it also makes it, of course, you know, in Phoenix you have the challenge of weather, which makes it more of an interior game than we'd like it to be anyway, because no one's going to want to sit under the Phoenix sun for 3.5 hours on an afternoon. But nevertheless, there is something about it being in a city that I feel is important and reinforces the other things. I mean, you know, yes, it can work. Of course it can work in the same way that you can pick up the art museum and move it, you know, 20, 30 miles outside the city. The pictures are still there and people can still appreciate them. But there's something about the nature of the experience that's changed. And the way in which a city has all these elements that reinforce each other, and the whole is more than the sum of the parts. When you take it out of the city, then suddenly you just have the parts.
Although your mention of Frank Lloyd Wright makes me want the Diamondbacks to move to Taliesin West and see what that would be like.
That would be pretty cool, actually. I will say that. Well, now that might be a whole other discussion entirely. Yes, exactly.
Paul Goldberger, longtime architecture critic and author of the new book Ballpark, Baseball in the American City. Real pleasure to talk with you, Paul. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you, Steve. I really enjoyed it.